Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Final hour of the Chase and Big Joe show here on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Joe out this week on their program. So myself, Connor Newt, himself, Nick Frazier, taking over the week. And we were unfortunately not able to be joined by him on Monday. So we asked him to come on today, and he so politely agreed to do so. Mr. John McClain joins us on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So, John, there's been kind of a deep dive I've been doing this week on the analytics of Cam Ward. And analytically, he did not have a great season in passing accuracy and throwing balls into danger zones. What's some way that he can improve and shore up those accuracies this season?
Good coaching, experience, good receivers, good protection, good running game. Anybody that's doing something for the first time, whether you are a talk show host, whether you are hitting a baseball, selling cars, you're always going to get better if you want to get better with experience. So I think there's no way Cam Ward is not going to be better in his second season at the analytics. And sometimes analytics never measure heart. They don't measure brains. They don't measure your work ethic. They're just numbers. That's why it drives me crazy when you see analytics having to do with offensive lines, because there's no way somebody watching tape has a clue about what every offensive lineman's assignment is on a given play. You can see when a guy's beating one-on-one, but sometimes when they're running stunts, when they're playing games up front, you don't know. And there should be a disclaimer with those grades, but of course there's not. And a guy like Cam Ward, there's no way he won't be better in his second season than he was as a rookie.
Let's play worst case scenario here, John. And not that Cam Ward will regress, but let's say he has more of the same from last year to this year. Is there a way that the Titans can still be somewhat competitive, at least in the AFC South division, with that being said?
Well, you got Jacksonville and Houston coming off playoff runs. Both of them should be playoff contenders again. Colts, I'm not sold on based on what they've done in the offseason. But being competitive, you can be competitive with a quarterback who's mediocre if you're good around him, if you play smart, if you have a good defense. I think the Titans' defense will be vastly improved with Robert Saleh making the calls. Robert showed again last year when he went to the 49ers, back to the 49ers, and they had to make a lot of difficult decisions on the salary cap and injuries. And he took that defense that was not nearly close to the same defense as it was when he left for the Jets, and they were still really, really good. So the defense is going to be good if the offensive line improves and they can run the ball. You can cover up deficiencies for quarterback and still be competitive. Doesn't mean you're going to compete for the playoffs, but you can be competitive and you can scare other teams if you play good defense and you can run the ball.
Houston's finest, John McClain, is on the line with us. John, when it comes to the AFC South and especially the Houston Texans, looking at C.J. Stroud, obviously not having the best of season last year, how can he improve in being one of the elite quarterbacks of not only the AFC South, but of the rest of the AFC?
Well, first of all, the way he played in the playoffs last season was not the way he played in the playoffs the two previous seasons. And I saw somebody yesterday said if you include his averages and include the three games that he had to miss, 3.5 games he missed with a concussion in which Davis Mills went undefeated, said he'd had 24 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and a 94.2 rating and some other stats. And, of course, that's not the case. But the thing they did, could do for Stroud is run the ball better. They were terrible. Their offensive line was bad again. They cannot get their offensive line improved no matter what they do. So they've used first and fourth round picks on the offensive line. They signed two free agents, left guard Wyatt Teller, right tackle Braden Smith, in an effort to improve the offensive line again. They have their same coach back. So if they can improve the running game, and the pass protection wasn't terrible, it was better. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons is because Stroud got better getting rid of the ball. He also has a second year, Nick Caley, who was a first-time offensive coordinator, first-time play caller. And when he came in from the Rams after being for years with the Patriots, and in those systems, Sean McVay and Josh McDaniels put a lot on the quarterback's plate. When the quarterback breaks the line of scrimmage, he's got to look, call protection schemes instead of the center. I don't like that, but it's worked for them. But you've got to have experienced quarterbacks. Now, in the case of Drake May, you know, he's learning that on the fly, and he's done well. And I'm sure Josh McDaniel has been very careful about the way he handles him. And so Nick Caley had not been an offensive coordinator like Josh had for years with multiple Super Bowls, so we expect him to be better. And besides bringing in two rookies and two veteran offensive linemen, they made the trade for David Montgomery mm-hmm. with the Lions, and he's been a touchdown machine for 3 years, rushing the ball. Texans had 33 touchdowns rushing over the last 3 years. He had 34. Mm-hmm. Last season, the Texans had 9 touchdowns rushing. He had 8. And he was splitting time with Jahmyr Gibbs. So if you run the ball better, quarterback's going to spend less time on the field. They should keep the defense guessing. And so there's no reason for Stroud not to be better. He also has had a lot of injuries. Nico Collins has not played a full season. Tank Dell didn't play the full season at all. He had two rookie receivers playing prominent roles. So I don't know how C.J. Stroud will not be better. The one we saw in the New England playoff game was the worst playoff performance I've ever seen, and I blame a lot of that on Nick Caley. If your defense is great, scores 2 touchdowns to win at Pittsburgh in the wild card round, common sense tells you anything in the divisional round but turning the ball over. Even if you have to run 3 plays and punt, do it because your defense is great and it's bad weather. So what happens? They come out throwing, he throws a pick 6, and then he's pathetic. And they still were in the game. And it just shows not only could Stroud have played better, the offensive coordinator could have done better.
Yeah, that led into my next question. You mentioned the running backs with David Montgomery being brought into this offense. Obviously, Woody Marks had a really good season last year on the ground. How do you see that running back room playing out? Do you see them possibly kind of emulating what Detroit did and kind of have – you know, Woody Marks take majority of the carries, take majority of the yards, and then use David Montgomery in the red zone to be just a touchdown threat? Because looking at the rest of this offense, Johnny, you've kind of already alluded to it, majority of it. Like, you have Jaden Higgins, who is probably one of the best second-rounders that's come out there for Houston in recent drafts. Jalen Noel, Tank Dell's coming back from injury, Xavier Hutchinson, Nico Collins. I mean, you have a lot of threats on the exterior part of this offense. How do you see it all playing out when it comes to that running back room?
Well, David Montgomery will be the starter, and Woody Marks will come off the bench. Last year, Joe Mixon was supposed to be the starting running back. The year before, he had a little over 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, and he missed 2.5 games after illegal hip drop tackles. Mm-hmm. So they were expecting him back, and then he got some kind of mysterious injury that they would never discuss, and he never came around. Nobody ever heard of him. He wasn't on social media talking about it. And I always told people when they say, well, what's the matter with Joe Mixon? I said, he's in a witness protection program. There's no other way to explain it. The team won't discuss it. I've never seen that. And this is my 50th year of going covering the NFL. And so they did not have their main running back, and they found it out late, too late to really do something. So Woody Marks was a fourth-round pick, and he stepped up. He was supposed to be a change of pace, third down back, and he had to start and rotate with some others, and they still won 12 games after an 0-3 start and a playoff game. And I think Woody Marks will be improved. Montgomery has already proven himself, but if Montgomery gets hurt, they're going to be in trouble. They don't want Woody Marks to be your full-time back.
He's longtime NFL insider John McClain. We'll have more coming up next with him on the Chase and Big Joe Show on 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Chase and Big Joe here with you on this Friday. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, joined by longtime NFL analyst Mr. John McClain. And John, I want to take you out to your neck of the woods and ask you a question of a story brewing down there. Cornerback Terrion Arnold, who was just released by the Detroit Lions a week or so ago, he's been in some legal trouble, but infinitely talented and has a lot of potential. It's been reported that your Houston Texans are linked to possibly making that move. Is that a move you think Nick Caserio would make?
I know Nick Caserio would do it because he'll take anything. If Henry Ruggs gets out of prison and he can still run and he can catch, Texans will be working him out because it's a different era. When Bob McNair was alive, he would never have let him sign some of the players that they've signed under Caserio, because he always said he didn't want people with patterns of bad behavior who could become cancers in the locker room. And the thing about Arnold, there is a great story in The Athletic this week that was a deep dive by three reporters, and they had everything, witness testimony, police body cam, the calls about reporting theft. And what's funny, this thing that Arnold was involved in about beating up two guys they thought stole all their stuff turned out as the wrong two guys. So he's got a great attorney, Harvey Sternberg from Denver, and he's got a great agent, Nicole Lynn. He'll get off with something, and teams will be all over him. Aaron Glenn was his coordinator with the Lions. He's the head coach of the Jets. Texans last year took Damon Arnett. That guy had a list of baggage longer than the airport terminal, and he didn't do squats. So, yeah, I don't know where he would fit in. He certainly wouldn't start. They've got Derek Stingley Jr. and Kamari Lassiter, best pair of corners in the league. Jalen Petrie's their slot corner. Arnold's used to starting. What's very telling to me, the Lions, who know him better than anybody, they cut him immediately. They didn't even wait for the testimony, didn't wait to see what was fact and what was fiction. And you guys know, NFL teams, if they think somebody can help them, they'll take, most of them will take just about anybody. And I'm telling you, if Henry Ruggs had gotten out on parole a couple of months ago, and he could still run the way he did coming to Alabama when he was a first-round pick of the Raiders, teams would have been trying him out, even though he killed a woman and her dog.
John McClain is with us. And John, it's no secret that the Houston Texans have among the best defenses, if not the best defense in the AFC. Under Robert Saleh's leadership and play-calling abilities, is there a possibility you think the Titans could ever get to that level of defensive intensity that the Texans have?
If they draft and sign players like the Texans have on defense, you know, drafting or being in position to draft Will Anderson Jr. third overall, making a trade for Danielle Hunter. They're the best pass rushing ends in the NFL. They've done a great job bringing in defensive tackles and coaching them. You know, first thing they have on defense is great coaching in their line. They have a really good coordinator who calls the defense, Matt Berg. D'Amico Ryan's oversees it. They have two really good starting linebackers. One, the Titans know very well, is Ezell Shire, and the other one's Henry Toa, came from Alabama. Mm-hmm. And then they got a great secondary. And so if you draft and you sign good players, yes, Robert Saleh can have the best defense in the league, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's taken Caserio. He got here in 21, and it was only great last season.
John, when it comes to down there in Dallas for the Cowboys, the news story came out, Marshawn Nealon, the information came out, he had CTE stage 4. Former Cowboys defensive line coach Aaron Whitecotton, who is now with the Titans, had a little emotional moment back at minicamp in mid-June. I've played football. I've had a few concussions here and there. I know CTE is always a big topic of conversation, and I know the NFL is always trying to have somebody with eyes in the sky if there's a head injury or so forth. I mean, do you believe that the NFL is doing their right justice of trying to protect these players on the field?
They're doing everything they can do about concussions right now, other than making players wear those helmets, those oversized helmets that look like beehives. A few of them do. The union they would have to be negotiated. If every player wore those helmets, it would be even better. But a lot of them don't like it because they think they don't look as good. Some say they don't feel as good. Jalen Petrie, the Texans slot corner and safety, is really good. He weighs 200 and he wears it. And it makes his head look five times as big, like he's an alien. But you know what? He's one of the hardest hitters in the league. And thing about CTE, you cannot detect it until someone is dead. If they ever invent a test that you can take while you're alive and they administer it, say, at the combine, all of a sudden you find all these prospects coming out of college who are susceptible to it or already have it starting, that's when you can see a serious effect on pro football. But right now, players, it's like smoking. Do people still smoke knowing they can die of lung cancer? Of course they do. And heart disease and everything else that's been proven against smoking, but they still smoke. And with all the money to be made, I don't think it would have an effect at all. Remember the movie Concussion?
Oh, yeah,
Will Smith. Oh, yeah, it's going to be the end of the National Football League. And it wasn't a pimple on an elephant's butt.
That's very true. Yeah, John, I remember when I was playing when I was in high school, and I remember they would show us the NFL had this chart of helmets that the players could use. Do they still do that in the NFL where they go with ranking of the best helmets to use and the worst helmets that are probably not recommended to wear during the season?
They do. They do, and it gets better every year. And I don't know why the union doesn't make the players wear the safest helmets. And only time would tell if the player's performance suffers. You're not supposed to use your helmet anyway, but you can't help it. When you get tackled and a quarterback or running back's head bounces back off the surface, it might help if some of these grass fields were kept from soccer and the World Cup, because you don't hear, and players' heads hit. And every once in a while, you'll see in the soccer a concussion, but players bump heads all the time, and they go down the ground a lot. But I think keeping natural grass would help with concussions as well instead of artificial surface. I know C.J. Stroud got one 2 years ago at the Giant Stadium, which everybody hates. It's artificial. And one of the excuses you hear about the NFL coming from the NFL is NFL teams don't want to keep that grass because stadiums are so expensive today, they need to have other events on their fields, and it would ruin the grass. And my answer is, well, how come I see bands from the U.S. playing on soccer fields all over the world?
Valid point. And that's the thing. In soccer in Europe and South America, whatever, they have these giant contraptions. I don't know what they're called, but they're like heaters. They're like space heaters, but for the field, so they can still grow in the colder months. That keeps the grass green 24/7. I guess that requires a lot more expenses for sure. But I'm kind of with you there, John. That was my next question, is about a lot of these NFL players are, they have a strong reception about the natural grass being played throughout the World Cup at all these different NFL stadiums. I mean, do you think there is a possibility that we could see a transition back to natural grass for these players?
Well, Mark Davis is doing it with the Raiders, and I think that's great. Their stadium was built where the grass, like Arizona, it's outside, and it's watered during the week, gets sunlight, and then slides into place until all the stadiums start to have things to do that. I saw one of the soccer stadiums. They don't have the same feel for soccer matches as they have for concerts and other events. That grass field disappears, and then they have another field that comes out and replaces it, another surface for big events like that. And if they have that, we could have that. You know, they should make teams build a new stadium, have things like that to protect the players. The only other way the players could get it, they'd have to go on strike or give the owners something they really, really want in the collective bargaining to say, okay, we'll give you that, but we want grass fields and we want the union to have a big say in what kind of grass, and then they do it. Then they might have to go on strike to get it, and they're not going to go on strike. They haven't since 1987.
Yeah, if you go look on, it's Real Madrid, the Bernabeu. It's a weird contraption that they built. It's a part of their like $1-2 billion renovation. It's the field's on like a metal cycle. It's like you're in an elevator, and it brings up the new field. It's pretty incredible to watch, John. Highly recommend looking it up.
That's where I saw that. Everybody should see how they do it, starting with every NFL team.
He's John McClain, longtime NFL insider out in Houston. Normally joins us every Monday, but was kind enough to join us today. John, thank you for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you. Hope you have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you, John. Thank you, John.
See you, John.
I have never interviewed John McClain before. That was a fun one.
Yeah, man. He's always a blast. John's a good dude.
A little bit of breaking news in Major League Baseball while we were on interviewing with John McClain.
Yes.
The St. Louis Cardinals and star rookie second baseman J.J. Weatherholt are in agreement of an 8-year, $112.5 million deal. No options in that contract.
Beautiful.
It needed to get done before we go to negotiations with the CBA. I'm glad they got that done.
That's roughly what, $14 million, $15 million a year?
Yes.
Good. Perfect.
I'm good with it.
I mean, he is the future star of the St. Louis
Cardinals. If you would have waited, that would have been more expensive.
Yeah. And I know in the new CBA deal that they tried to, I guess the new MLB deal they're trying to get with these younger players, after December 1st, if this does get passed, a max deal you could do is like $260 million or $230 million, mm-hmm. which you're just hindering the opportunity for a player like that.
It's also over twice as much as you're paying him right now. Yeah. So good for the Cardinals, good for Weatherholt. And most importantly, good for us St. Louis Cardinals fans. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, we'll react to some of what John had to say, some interesting points that he made there, and reset our question of the day. We'll do all that coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, sponsored by the Omni Nashville Hotel on 1025 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.